podcast with Harpreet Gandhir.
All right, welcome back to the Heart Podcast. It's me, Jigaraj Lali, once again, and I'm pleased to be joined by someone that I've known for almost 2 years now, and someone that I'm proud to say that I have the opportunity to work with, Brendan Iwanchishin, the president of For Vengeance Media and the play-by-play voice of the BCHL's Spruce Grove Saints. And that's still settling in to say, at least, Brendan, but how's it going? And thanks so much for joining me.
It's good. Really good. No, thanks for having me on the show. I know this has been a long time coming, and just with your schedule and my schedule and the busyness of the JPHL and the Spruce Grove Saints, it didn't line up till now. So happy to be here, and thanks for having me.
Indeed. And, you know, before we even dive into things a bit deeper, I know I started with you guys just as soon as the JPHL was starting back in September of 22, and This really is, and it continues to be my first broadcast opportunity. Like, you guys really gave me that first opportunity to step my foot into the industry. And I know that I've really been talking to Dean a lot more this past season as well, but it was really you who I reached out to last year. And I'd like to once again express how grateful I am and thank you for giving me that first opportunity and allowing me to, you know, continue to hone my craft with the JPHL and For Vengeance.
Yeah, I mean, thank you to you as well for honing your craft and being one of our lead guys in BC this year. It's people like you, to be completely honest, that keep our company going and keeps the JPHL going. If we didn't have people in the BC area or in the Vancouver area or in Calgary or Edmonton or wherever it may be, it's financially impossible to travel people out all the time to make sure that the games are set to a high standard, they're produced and broadcast at a level that we think the league deserves. And I think, I mean, you probably agree that For Vengeance and maybe the coverage this weekend more so than ever as we are getting set for championship weekend rivals that of a pro league. And I would struggle to find maybe a different amateur league that has the same level of coverage that we provide to the JPHL and our other properties as well in the HSL and the Spruce Grove Saints. And the Saints, they now have competition, like you said, in the BCHL, you know, Penticton and Vernon and Surrey and all those teams do a great job. But back to yourself, and I just like to commend you on the job that you've done. You know, I think you would agree you're better now than you were in September of 2022. And that's not us. We gave you the opportunity, but you had to take the opportunity and do something with it. And that's exactly what you have done. Because just like the league, you know, we're developing officials and coaches and players. Well, we're also developing broadcasters. I think you're a great example of that. I mean, you know, do you see yourself working for Hockey Night in Canada in September of 2022? Probably not, but you are now and you deserve it.
Indeed, Brendan. And I think probably the highlight of those 2 years has just been going to all those different rinks and getting to meet the families. Like, I can honestly say at the end of the season, I'm very close with a lot of families from the Langley Hockey Academy or the Okanagan Hockey Club. Like, these parents, they remember me. They remember who I am. And I've got a lot of these families following me on my social media platforms as well. That just really speaks to how close that I've grown to them as well. But, you know, kind of the work that we're putting in on the broadcast, whether it's the intermission content that we put out or what we say on air, truly, that really does give us the chance to connect with these families truly, because at the end of the day, the kids on the ice are doing all the hard work. All what we're trying to do is just tell a story, tell the story of these kids through our broadcast. And I honestly have to say as well, calling that playoff hockey I did a couple weekends ago in Abbotsford has to be the most fun I've ever had calling hockey. You know, just the games that were being played on the ice, our coverage through For Vengeance, you know, the crew that was there as well. It was the time of my life.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I mean, look back to your Liam Pugh overtime winner. I think that one will stick in the JPHL archives for quite some time as Liam Pugh continues to be the poster boy, so to speak, of the league. But you make such a good point. And even I could say the same thing about Saints parents, too, to a certain extent, where, you know, they're not all from around here. And even in the JPHL, too, where you got teams traveling in from the other province next door, parents can't always make the trip. It's just not feasible for every single game of the season. So, like yourself, you're the conduit between basically their kid and the action to them back at home. So the relationship obviously develops a lot throughout the year. and they look forward, honestly, to knowing who's calling the game. And if it is yourself, I imagine they get even more excited. But without that relationship of the broadcaster and the parent, you know, I don't think it means anything what we're doing. I think that's the most important part. And yes, it's to showcase the athletes at a high level, but it's also to make sure that these parents, who, like we said, can't make the trip every single weekend, still get to watch their kids in an up close and personal way.
Indeed. And I feel like, especially the Punjabi parents, the parents of South Asian descent as well. Like, I was talking to Jaden Clare's parents. I was talking to Micah Sidhu's parents. I was talking to, you know, for example, Shiv Singh's parents as well. And all of these families, when like their name is pronounced in the Punjabi way as well, they feel really happy that, you know, our kid's coming up to us and saying, "Hey, mom, dad, like, I can feel my name, or I can hear my name being pronounced the right way." And at the end of the day, comments like those are really what motivates me to continue coming back and continue doing the job that we do at the JPHL. You know, it doesn't even feel like it's already been 2 seasons that we finished up here with Four Vengeance, but you know, I hope that this is a relationship that we continue going on, and I hope to stay a part of the Four Vengeance media family for a long time.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, as this league continues to grow, you got new hubs coming on next year, like Victoria. You know, you saw Coquitlam come into the fold this year. Will we see one in Penticton one day? You know, they're the forefront of the BCHL. Are they going to be in the market for a team? I think it's just going to continue growing. I think they'll get to a point where they're happy with the growth. They don't want to expand anymore to make sure the competition stays at a good level. But on that note, I mean, there's going to be more programs in BC. There already is more programs in BC than there are in Alberta. So yourself, along with the crew out there, is going to continue to be at the forefront of our coverage because, like we said at the start, it's just financially, it's just not feasible to travel out there every single weekend. So to have talented individuals like yourself representing us on that side of the border is extremely huge. And just going back to your point about the minorities right now in the game of hockey, and that's starting to change, as we've seen now with the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, you had a great interview, I believe it was 2 weeks ago now, during the playoff coverage, where I think you asked Jaden Clare of the Langley Hockey Academy about what he thought about now the Vancouver Canuck, Ardish Baines, I believe is his name, making his debut in the NHL with his father in the crowd and everything that went along with that. And you know, it's a fine line to walk because you don't want to go on too far left, too far right. But I think the way that you did that interview was truly professional because, yeah, that would be like you asking me, how do you feel about Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, eclipsing the win record in the NHL? Well, obviously, I'm going to be proud of that because he's one of my favorite goaltenders and I was a goaltender. But for you to ask Jaden the exact same question about one of his idols and a guy that looks at him now making it to that level of hockey, it has to mean a lot for him. So it's really cool to see that you've taken not just the play-by-play or the analysis, but you've taken it to a whole nother level and you're able now to storytell and get into these kids' feelings. And, you know, if there's anybody out there that doesn't like that story, there's something wrong with you because it's so cool to see the progression of that now to the NHL and how it's circled all the way back now to minor hockey as well.
And I know that this has been an ongoing story in like the NHL newsways as well, Brandon, but really like seeing how the community sort of gathered together when Archdeep made his debut, like we had people calling into our Hockey Night in Canada show. We had people texting us and messaging us on how happy they truly were. Actually, at one of our playoff games in Abbotsford a couple of weeks ago, parents came up to me that, you know, to see that Archdeep is now in the NHL, like they have people that didn't know a single clue about hockey. As soon as Archdeep made his debut, that kind of, you know, made them fall in love with the sport of hockey. And it's sort of introducing all of these new people to the sport of hockey. So I think what we're doing with Four Vengeance as well, having people from all sort of minority be a part of our league, with the JPHL, or as you made mention, with the HSL as well, just getting to provide coverage for so many different families, it truly is a great job and an honor and a privilege to be a part of.
Yeah, it's extremely rewarding, right? And you've talked about it now for a couple questions, but to have the families and the people come up to you, and you know, even take it a step further to get the call-ins and the text-ins on Hockey Night in Canada to say, you know, how proud they are of one certain individual breaking down the barrier, so to speak, and proving that it is possible to come from a place where hockey is not prevalent. It's not the main sport, and it probably never will be. But to see that there's people from that walk of life now making it to the NHL. And you know, that would be like me saying, I'm going to go play in the World Cup of soccer. Well, it's probably not going to happen because I'm not good at it. And I probably never will be. But on the point two of the HSL, and we talked about it from the Punjabi side of things, and the HSL next year probably going to introduce a female division, an all-female HSL. And we've seen what's happened now with the PWHL, and you know, maybe one day we'll see the female HSL start to feed that league. But it's really cool what Silent Ice is doing as a whole on those topics to break down the barriers and try to get more people in the game. And you know, maybe you take the Formula One example of Netflix, and when they put the show on Netflix, how the popularity grew of the sport. Well, the same could be said for Archdeep or the female HSL. The popularity of the sport's obviously going to grow because so many more eyeballs are going to be watching it, which in turn is better for the game as a whole.
Indeed, it is. And let's sort of backtrack a little bit because I know you made mention that you were a goaltender growing up as well. So let's talk about Brendan growing up. How did you fall in love with the sport of hockey? And, you know, what inspired you to follow the path you're currently on?
It's an interesting story. It's not your typical go to university like you did and land a job and kind of work your way up. It is working your way up, I guess, in a certain extent. But no, I played my whole life. I played as a player, obviously, when I was a tiny kid. And I fell in love with the goaltender position early. I don't know what it was, but it was back in the day where there was no goalies on the team. You're all dressed as players, and you'd get the goalie stick, and you'd have to go play 5 minutes in the crease, and that was what you got. And it got to the point, I think, where, geez, 7, 8 years old, I would get to go play goalie in close games because I was good at it, still in player gear. And then it got to a point, obviously, where I was a full-time goaltender through Adam and Pee-wee, it was called back then, and Bantam, and then U18s. I played on some pretty good teams, actually. It would have been the U15 level, the U16 level. Ian Mitchell, a guy that's now with the Boston Bruins. Dawson Brunisky, a guy that just ramped out of the penalty box a couple weeks ago against Arizona State and caused that bit of a line brawl. There was a lot of notable guys actually that I play with through the years. You can't see it right now because this is a podcast, but I'm 5'8" on a good day, maybe 5'9" on skates, and simply put, that's not big enough. So you're never going to make it anywhere as a goaltender. If you don't have the height, the farthest I went, I played a couple preseason games with the Vancouver Giants right in your neck of the woods in Langley.
Wow.
But again, the height was never on my side, and it was probably never going to be on my side. Still isn't. It's actually funny now being on the other side, and I'll get to the story how that morphed out in a second. But to talk to the scouts now on this side and say, hey, you know, what'd you think? And I asked him when I first started, and they said, yeah, you worked hard, but you're never big enough. I was like, and that's it. Yeah, simple as that. Move on, next guy. And I mean, that's how hard it is, right, to make it to the next level. And that's only the major junior level, let alone the NHL. But I ended up just taking kind of the high school path at the end, if you will. I had a chance to go play in the CSSHL, which is kind of a swear word now where I work. And ended up going just back to my minor hockey team here in Spruce Grove and playing U18 AA with all my friends while I graduated. We had a lot of success. It was a lot of fun. It wasn't the AAA level where you got to try your butt off every time and got to be so detailed and, you know, you're preparing with video and all these things. So it was a cool laid back year. But in the same breath that year, I was set to go to McEwen University up in Edmonton. I ended up going for one semester, but then it was actually the president of the Spruce Grove Saints at the time, Mark Kronowit, who I reached out to, and I'll back this up just a couple years. Throughout high school, I was the volunteer public address DJ, if you will, for the Stony Plain Eagles, a senior AAA team here that the same ownership group owned. They bought the Saints the year that I graduated. And then I made this phone call and I said, I mean, you've seen the work that we've done with the Eagles, and geez, it wasn't much. It wasn't anything. It was showing up and doing a good job from 7 to 9:30 on a Saturday night. Often after we played a game, it would be going to go do the Eagles game. And Mark said, okay, well, here's the vision I have for it. What can you do? And the first day I walked into the Saints rink, and I'll never forget this, and you know, it might embarrass a person or two as we go through the story, but walked in and there was one camera set up in the corner, way up in the nosebleeds, with data values all over the screen. The ice looked like it was piss yellow. It was terrible. It was awful. It was the worst in the league or close to, and there was a lot of work to do. And same could be said for social media. It wasn't great. The website didn't exist. There was no content. There was nothing to promote the players. So the sales and marketing director, Chad Holman, and I basically took it under our wing, built out the social media, the website, the ticketing, the marketing, to the level it is now. We've got some help with some other personnel in our organization over the years. But the broadcasting, yeah, the one camera got moved to center. It got white balanced. It got leveled. We added another camera. We added a replay machine. We added more cameras. We added more microphones. We added graphics. We added more people. And now it's to the point where it's a consistent five camera shoot every night with a replay operator, a producer, a director, a graphics operator, myself up top in the booth, and a color guy down at ice level, all hardwired in and all done to the nines. And that was prior to For Vengeance. And then For Vengeance became a thing. Geez, summer-ish of 2022, end of the season 2022. And it wasn't per se a media company that needed to go and rival that of, HN Live or Feature Productions and go, steal rodeos or do Hockey Canada events or tournaments. It was kind of let's create a company to get our own stuff off the ground and make it look professional. And year one of the JPHL, I think, was a struggle for everybody, myself included. It was drinking from a fire hose at time where there was a lot of hockey to do and not, I guess, the stable of people, yourself included, that we built up to the level of comfortability yet. And same thing with the gear. The gear wasn't ready to handle all that yet. We got through it. I mean, the average person wouldn't really know the difference, but I think this year, with the addition of Dean Millard and Braden Kleist and running it more as its own entity, I think paid dividends now. And you would probably agree where we now have interviews, we have content every intermission, graphics, proper cameras, proper streaming capabilities, heck, our own streaming platform with Silent Ice TV. So, let's just say, from a little piece of junk camera in the corner of a Saints rink that displayed nothing but wrong information to where we're gearing up for this weekend, where we're going to have 12 cameras and replays and a studio desk and video review and commentators and talkback and graphics and ice mics and blah, blah, blah. I think it's come a long way. It's been a wild journey, but there's a long, drawn out answer of the journey for me and where it started to where it is today.
Indeed, and we'll dive on into JPHL Championship Weekend a bit later on. But really, I know you made mention earlier on that the journey for you into broadcasting wasn't the typical one. But after hearing that story, you really had to go through some hardships to get to where you are at now. And being at the forefront of For Vengeance, I know you made mention that in 2022 it kind of took its met it took its metamorphosis in a way into really adapting under that For Vengeance name, whereas to prior, there wasn't really that big, company image behind it. So what led to the branding of For Vengeance and how it all became an actual thing?
Well, I was a Spruce Grove Saints employee for 3 of the last 5 years, for the last 6, I guess, now as this season's wrapping up. And I joined, quote unquote, For Vengeance, even though it's still under the Silent Ice umbrella, after the 2022 hockey season. So June-ish of the 22 season. And then last June, we brought on Dean Millard. It was a vision from our owner, Lindsay LeKelt, who came up with the logo, the design, the colors. And it's kind of cool. I love it because it's a little different than our typical baby blue, Silent Ice, Silent Rides, Silent Ice Center, Spruce Grove Saints, Stony Plain Eagles, Seattle Thunderbirds blue feel. It's its own thing, which is kind of cool for us. And within reason, he gave us the financial means to go out, procure the gear, hire the crew, and then, after a year or two, start to generate some profit back towards the actual company. And it's been a welcome challenge. It's been a lot of work for sure. You heard the story of where it was, and that was merely just a Saints thing back in the day to where it is now. And I mean, we've done some corporate work. We've done a lot of consulting and work for the Seattle Thunderbirds. It's led to some freelance opportunities for myself at big international events through the company. It's led to some NHL chances as well, with Sportsnet, TNT, and some of the bigger networks were, I'm not the man, so to speak, not the boss going in. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole, but definitely opened up a lot of doors and some cool learning experiences that we can all take back to For Vengeance and integrate into the coverage, for example, this coming weekend. But it was a Lindsay Lekelt, Dan Lekelt vision from day number one. They got it off the ground and they let me run it. And then they brought on Dino, just I guess over a year ago, or basically a year ago now. And then I brought on some technical guys to help out, and then we have our stable of freelancers that make the bus wheels turn. And what the future is, it's a great question. I don't know if it's a short answer or not. I think we're very happy with what we've done right now with our internal properties. We have the JPHL, which is, geez, 600 plus games a year, the HSL, which factors in another 100. We have 50 some Saints games, a handful of work for Seattle and corporate. We're in charge of all the big events that come into Silent Ice Center, which will start being more and more now with concerts and trade shows and curling events and what have you. So where the company is right now to where it is definitely in a good spot. It's only going to keep growing with the events that Silent Ice keeps bringing in and with the additional teams in the JPHL. But for me, man, it's been a heck of a ride, and it's been a lot of fun, and couldn't be happier.
What do you find most rewarding about your role with For Vengeance as the president?
That's a good question, and I'll try to dumb it down to one example. Let's go to last weekend. It's Saturday morning, whatever, 10 o'clock on Saturday, and I'm driving to Saints morning skate. They're playing the Okotoks Oilers last Saturday. And I'm driving through the drive-through of Tim Hortons, and their coffee's gotten awful. I don't know what happened to it, by the way. I don't know if you disagree or agree, but I don't know, man. McDonald's might have the better coffee. Nonetheless, I got Silent Ice TV pulled up on my phone, and it's connected to the Bluetooth in my car. And I'm listening to your self-call games out in Abbotsford. I'm listening to Tyler Woke call games in Edmonton. Sorry, this is 2 weeks ago, not a week ago. I just kind of sat back and had a moment where I was like, wow, a year ago, not a hope in hell, or 2 years ago, this is not happening. I'm in the drive-thru. I'm completely absent from these shows. These guys are rocking in BC. These guys are rocking it in Alberta. I'm going to watch morning skate, basically stress-free. I know these guys are doing a good job. They might have an issue or two, and I'm a text or a call away. But for me, that moment when I sat there and saw, at a time, four streams going at once, including our Saints game, and was able to sit back and just merely call the Saints game without any outside pressure or problems, was extremely rewarding. Just kind of showed us that all the late nights and the phone calls and the wiring stuff and cutting videos and explaining how to do things has come a long way, where Dino and I could sit on our ass here in Alberta and play golf. And if there was a tournament going on in BC and Alberta, within reason, we could sit there and let it happen, and it would be produced to the level that we would appreciate. So I think that was pretty cool for me.
And like in an industry that's constantly evolving, there's advancements in technology every day. And how do you think that For Vengeance strives to, stay adaptable in this industry that's changing every day?
Yeah, and I mean, first and foremost, the TV, so to speak, is going away. It's all about streaming now. I think Silent Ice TV encompasses that. Getting our own streaming platform was huge to stay within the times. Even the Vegas Golden Knights now, they don't even have a TV deal per se. They produce their own show and then they distribute it as they wish. All the broadcasters, producers, directors work for the team, which is pretty cool. But the other side of that too is it used to be so hard to go out and procure the gear. You need a big 53-foot semi truck to do what we're doing this weekend from Silent Ice Center, for example. And for $250,000 for the weekend, it's simply not happening. But now, the gear is it's more accessible. It's less financially hard to get. And I think that's been a big step for us. I'm not gonna give away the state secrets and say how much we spent on gear this year or what the road kits are worth, but they're reasonable enough that we can put together a couple of them. And I think they do a good job of showcasing the game wherever we are. Now at Silent Ice Center, for example, we have a replay machine that's worth, you know, tens to thousands of dollars. And it was a purchase that has helped us with the Spruce Grove Saints for years. It's helping us this weekend for years. But you go to a broadcast truck and you're spending 50, 60 plus on the exact same piece of gear. So there's one example, I think, of how it's helped a ton. But for the future, to stay adaptable, you know, I think 11 Creative has done a lot of good stuff with that too, where they're micing up kids. You know, they got the TikTok angles going. They're shooting more for social media. We've seen them now take a lot of our clips and adapt them to social media, which I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but gets the most eyeballs on it. You know, if CTV News is going to come out and shoot a JPHL game, well, how many people are really watching it at 11:30? Probably not as many that are watching the TikTok of Liam Pugh's overtime winner. It's that simple. So the more that we can get our content out there, whether that's through the JPHL socials, our own socials, or by doing cool things on the ice, you know, adding camera angles, having video review, showing three or four looks of a goal or a controversial play, or getting that penalty box reaction where the guy comes out and he's slamming his stick, you know, and putting those up, whether it's on our platform of Silent Ice TV, whether it's on our social media channels, I think that's where it's going. It's going to be more and more geared towards socials, more and more geared towards short type films. There's obviously still going to be an appetite to watch the entire game, and that's never going to end. But if that makes sense, just getting more eyeballs on those social media side of things and having the tech on our side to make sure we capture those moments as best as we can.
Yeah, you made mention as well on social media. I posted both that Liam Pugh overtime winner with my angle of, you know, myself in there as well, the Okanagan Hockey Club, the U14 advancing as well. And I think Sunday, March 3rd is definitely going to be a day, no matter how far, you know, I ever get in the industry, it's going to be a day I never forget, because that call of Liam Pugh was not shared just by our league and by the For Vengeance page. I had players who were responding into my DMs saying, man, we love it when you do our games. You know, you do such a great job. And really, those words really made me sit back. Like, I was sitting down on the couch as well. And like, man, how far have I come? And it was all thanks to you guys really believing in me on that day one that, okay, you know, we have a chance with someone here. He's eager to get into the industry. And, you know, we want to make this work. And, you know, a funny story actually as well, Brendan, because at the start of this past hockey season, I was contacted by Dean, and, you know, my play-by-play last year, it had its flaws and it had, you know, things I needed to improve on. And Dean was wanting me to take more of a producer role this year. And he wanted me to be more of, you know, like a producer or a camera op and just making sure the broadcast is running smoothly. But I told him, I went, you know, when I responded to him, I told him, I feel like I've definitely improved this year. I know I can show you guys that I can do better as well, right? And I know that this is what I want to pursue. This is what I want to be in the future. So if you give me one chance, I will make sure I do you proud. And I think that's exactly what I did, because, you know, Dean sent me a couple of texts over when he was back in Edmonton. We had a showcase at Planet Ice, and, you know, just, I think it was an overtime winner. I was analyzing some sort of play as well. And to hear Dean, you sent me a text, man, I'm so proud of you. And that really truly meant the world to me, because it really kind of proved to the fact that, you know, For Vengeance was helping me hone that craft of mine.
Yeah, and you deserve it. 110%. I mean, people don't know this. It's not, when it gets to this point of the season, whoever can make it does it. You know, it's almost a hand selection where Dino and I and some other people get on a call and say, who's the best man to do this position or this position or this position? So I would say it's a huge reward that you got to do the Liam Pugh game. We'll call it that. But just to do that playoff series, I'm sure it meant a lot for us to get you out there to do it. But now hearing how much it meant to you obviously makes sure or makes it worth it for us and shows us that we made the right decision. And regarding Dino, I mean, we're developing broadcasters, like I said, just like we're developing refs or players, everybody. So to hear that you feel like you've improved, I think shows us that we're on the right track.
Indeed. And now let's dive into championship weekend. And this is something that's been talked about all season long. You know, I was talking to Commissioner Nolte as well earlier in the season. He was on the show as well. There's really no words to describe what is going to happen this weekend in terms of the broadcast, in terms of the teams playing on the ice, in terms of the setting as well. But if you could sum it up, could you provide insights into the team and technology behind the broadcast this weekend?
Let's start off with the tech. I think I mentioned the amount of cameras, but this is the biggest show for Vengeance Media has ever done, period. There's no asterisks on that. It's 100% the biggest one. We got a play camera, tight camera, two manned corners, one camera behind each net. We're running four handhelds, which will be on sticks for the most part. Two at the studio desk, one in the play-by-play booth, and one in the replay booth to get you that classic under review situation room look. Graphics wise, we have pre-produced videos and content for pregame and intermission, especially with our guests, lower thirds, keys to success, statistics, as well as player information that we'll all be used in real time depending on the game flow. It's a true TV broadcast almost in that sense. A stream online, I guess, is where the distribution is. But it's set out, it's time aligned perfectly with commercials and what segments do what. We'll have off the top a nice look at the desk with highlight packages of either the semifinal wins for the teams or the games from the day before, depending on if we're getting game two or three or one. Live play, we'll have up to six angles of replay to show you, to depict controversial plays, exciting plays, hits, goals, saves, all the above, graphics as well to show you things mid-game. Obviously, your constant time and score. And then in the intermissions, we'll feature a player interview as well as a guest. And in the other intermission, we'll have a player interview and an analyst for the first time in the form of Tyrell Spitzer, who is going to be on every single second intermission to depict some of the action through the first 40 minutes, which will be really cool for us. And then obviously director, producer, graphics operator, replay operator, commentators. Dino's going to head up the hosting duties. And then some skilled camera operators for all the manned cameras. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of an idea into the tech side of it. It's coming along. We were there all day today, setting up as we're recording this on Wednesday night. Thursday will be more of a digital load, get all the elements in place, test everything, and then Friday away we go, baby. Game number one. And then I'm not sure if you want to talk about the series at all. But man, oh man, and we talked about this on Game Changers, I guess 2 weeks ago now when everything started. Who knows who's gonna win this thing? You know, it's a lot of rematches of the winter championships, which is great. But yeah, I played Beer League still with some of the coaches of teams on the JPHL, and I was trying to get some insight a couple weeks ago before it started, and they didn't even know it was anybody's game. And although it is the best of three, they're short series. So you better have your A game on. If you take some time off, the puck's probably in the back of your net. So I don't know who's going to win. I just hope for some game threes to make for some good TV.
Indeed, and we can dive on in a bit to that series later on as well. Depending on how much time you have to spare as well. But talking about the broadcast as well, we had Peter Labardius last time. We had Gene Principe for the Winter Championships as well. So in terms of personnel, who can we expect this weekend?
Yeah, there's nobody at, let's say, the NHL celebrity level with us this time. And Gene was awesome, and Lubo was awesome, and I've known those guys for a long time. Lubo's actually out scouting this weekend, so he wouldn't be able to come even if we wanted to. He's a scout for the Calgary Flames. Gene's busy with Oilers shows. But I always told Dino, I said, the big names are great, and they're awesome, and it did their job. It got the name of our show out there and got us definitely some clicks online. But why don't we use our own people? You know, let's promote our own people. Let's reward the people that have worked with us all year with being part of the biggest show they've ever been a part of. So we got Ian Wilson coming in from BC. That's going to do some games for us in the younger divisions. Dean Millard's going to be on the mic for some as well. And we also have Tyler Woke set to go in between the benches to provide some live color analysis. Regarding guests, we have everybody from officials to BCHL hockey operations guys. Commissioners of both of our leagues, some special guests from the Western Hockey League, and some big names within our league, like Sean Bell and Clayton Stoner and guys like that. We even, I think, have the father of Liam Pugh popping on, Jason Pugh as well. So the coverage should be lots of fun. Friday it gets going. But I think we took the approach this time to just let's get some of our people in there. And Jag, your name came up in that conversation as well. And if this stays between you and me and the podcasting world, we'll see you for the Winter Championships in December.
Oh wow. No, that truly means so much. You have no idea how much that means to me. I've had so many talks with Dean about, heading out to Silent Ice as well and being there for the Winter Championships. And Brandon, you really oh wow, that really came out of nowhere, man. I appreciate
Yeah,
that so much.
you betcha.
And yeah, you guys, I work with Ian all the time. He's my broadcast partner for the Junior A teams that we have here in the Richmond Sockeyes and the Delta Ice Hawks. So you guys definitely made the right choice. There couldn't have been anyone better. And I know one of his teams got eliminated yesterday from the Pacific Junior Hockey League playoffs in the Chilliwack Jets. So that'll definitely cheer him up being in Edmonton this weekend.
Yeah, he's looking forward to it. We gave him the news about a month ago, and I think he's on a plane tomorrow afternoon. So we'll get him acquainted with the building and the setup and showtime on Friday morning.
Indeed. So, you made mention of the strategies as well, but from like your own perspective, what are you looking forward to the most about this weekend?
Well, I'd say not pressing the wrong button to start off with in the director chair, as the switcher is basically full. I think there's one empty button if I wanted it, but we'll keep it 99% full. For us, Jag, it's just about showcasing and congratulating the teams that have made it here. And even for our own media company too, selfishly flexing our muscles a bit and showing what we can do. But a lot of work has gone into this. It starts from day one. If our coverage sucks all year and then we just do a big show at the end, it doesn't mean as much as if our coverage was awesome all year, and then we are even awesomer for championship weekend. So just seeing the crew come together, work together, really want to nail down the moments, high pressure moments, if it's a one goal game late, if there's rush to rush chances, if a coach is freaking out, it doesn't really matter what the situation is, as long as it's showcased properly, visually, audibly as well, and that we do our job behind the scenes to show the viewer at home what's going on in the rink as best as we can. And I mean, nothing's better than being in the rink. Maybe you get a couple more angles, or you get, a better ambience noise. But for us, the reward would be showing those moments as best as possible and just flexing our muscles and showing that the coverage we put together all year with all the hard work really culminates this weekend with an even better show to kind of send everybody off into a happy summer and have them looking forward to next year.
So Brandon, with championship weekend going on this weekend as well, that kind of ends the JPHL's and For Vengeance's partnership for this season because, the season's going to be over and the JPHL athletes are going to be new athletes coming in next year as well. And with new athletes comes new plans as well. So taking a look at next season as well, has For Vengeance kind of, put down that, I guess you could call it blueprint as to how things are going to be running next year?
Yeah, we've done a little bit of talking towards it. We saw a brief schedule for next year. Obviously, it's not finalized yet. There'll be a couple more pieces of gear that need to be put together and get organized and get ready. As we could have up to five or six rinks at once next season, which is crazy. With the added teams in BC, especially, so more games means more gear and more ice. So we've looked at that a bit. For Four Vengeance as well, the Spruce Grove Saints are getting a brand new arena next season, set to move in January. So a lot of work has gone into that. That'll time consume a lot of the summer, and getting the right gear ordered and making sure the wiring's done in the stage that the arena's at right now, so that when we go in there, let's say Christmas time or early New Year, we're ready to roll. It'll be a quick mid-season move, and it'll be like a week over there and then a week here and set and ready to roll. So that'll take up some time. And then there's just some odds and ends still at Silent Ice Center to wrap up, just with getting that building ready to go. And then we got some big shows actually coming in there this summer as well, which will create some work for us and some time as well. So yeah, if that gives a little outlook on the summertime, and then it's rebuilding the road kits and making sure they're good to go, and then getting the start on crewing next season, which as well as I do, it starts quicker than you think.
Indeed, it does, Brandon. I appreciate you so much for taking the time to sit down with me. I had a great time talking to you today. And last summer when Dean showed me the preview video for Silent Ice Center, I made it to put it on my bucket list. I gotta check that place out one way or another. And I'll hope to get out there soon, obviously, hoping the winter championship. And just it's such a beautiful facility. It seems like such a fun place to work in, but an even fun place to be there as a fan.
Yeah, it's gonna be incredible, and yeah, mark the dates on your calendar because we'll definitely have you out here come winter championship time in this December. Which again, we'll be here before you know it.
Indeed, it will. Once again, Brandon, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you as well, and continue to do what you're doing, and can't wait to see you next season, whether it's out in BC or here in Alberta.
Well, that's Brandon Iwanchishyn, ladies and gentlemen, the president of For Vengeance Media. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Heart Podcast. Please make sure to like, subscribe, share, and we'll catch you on the next one. Frequency clear.